Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you. Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are so excited that you have tuned in tonight. What an awesome day in the Lord. It is so good to be alive and saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Greetings to you in the name of Jesus. Grace and peace be unto you. We are Assistant Pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where our awesome leader is Archbishop Ruth Smith. Thank God for our lead pastor, Bishop Kevin Jones, Pastor Sakri Osler. We are thanking God for all that he's doing in our midst. We are located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the Lord is moving by his power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have service every Sunday at 8 a.m. Also, we have Bible study. We have Sunday school at 9:30, and then we also have a full blast service at 10:45. So you want to tune in and listen and come in, and you can also join us live stream at comingtothelight.org and go to live streaming, and you'll be able to live stream all of our service. We are so grateful that you have tuned in tonight. We are excited by what God is doing. We had all-night prayer last night, and we've seen the mighty move of God in our midst. I'm telling you, miracles, signs, and wonders were happening. Amen. We had a great time in the Lord, and God has really been speaking to us. So we are grateful tonight for all of you who have tuned in. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you for your support. Amen. Tonight, and we don't know if my wife wants to say something, but I let her say something, amen, before we bring the man of God in to bring the word.
Amen, and we praise God tonight, and we give him all the glory and all the praise. We just thank God for what he is doing in our lives, and that he continued to move, and he continued to help us to be able to be better as we go forward in his name. And we are thanking God for where we are. We thank God for the word of God that is going forth at the Light of the World. Talking about distractions, which is helping us to be even more aware of the enemy and all of his tactics. So we just give God glory and give him all the praise and all the honor. I want us to know that, I want you to know out there in Radio Land that we have services on Wednesdays at 12 noon and also at 7 p.m. So come on out and share with us, because we getting the word of God at the Light of the World, and we want you to be a part of that as well. So we thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and we have a man of God that is going to break the bread of life with us on tonight, and he's a powerful man, and he is saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and fire baptized, and I wouldn't want to have anybody else bringing this word tonight but him. And so we just praise God for Minister Randolph Ford, that is going to break the bread of life for us on tonight. And we want you to go on and press 1 on your phone, Minister Ford, and we will bring you live on the air. Truly, I know he has a word for God on today. So, Minister Ford, you are now live on the air.
Good evening. Good evening, Pastor Ann. And Pastor Stephen Butterfield, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Excellent,
yes,
excellent. Good evening, sir. Good evening. And it was indeed a pleasure to spend last night with you during our evening of prayer. Signs, wonders, miracles had taken place, testimonies about healing, people praying so powerfully, people moved by God in so many ways. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and it really inspired me to bring you the word that I'm about to bring this evening. I can never thank you. Thank you so much. I could never thank you enough, both of you, for this amazing, powerful ministry. Week after week, month after month, year after year, changing lives, bringing people closer to God and saving souls. So I thank each and every one of you. Bless you both. You are amazing people of God.
Bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And why don't I just move right into today's scripture? And it comes from the New Testament book of Colossians. It's a book that Paul wrote while he was actually in prison. And we will be coming from Colossians, the first chapter, verses 24 through 29. And if you may, I would love to read them as our introduction for today's ministerial sermon this evening. Colossians 1, verses 24 through 29. And they read as follows. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. Hallelujah. To his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And the final verse, 29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. My brothers and sisters, the word of God for the people of God is already blessed. Please join me. This area, Colossians, the first chapter, inspired me to come up with my subject title, Paul's Philosophy of Ministry. Let me say that again. Paul's Philosophy of Ministry. Please join me. Bow your heads while I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity through this broadcast to give you all the praise, honor, and glory that you so justly deserve. Dear Lord, you are truly magnificent, and we lift up your holy name tonight. Oh God, you are so powerful, and I beseech you tonight, O Lord, to use me as your empty vessel and fill me with those words of the gospel that you would have me speak. Father God, we ask that you prepare the hearts of your people and make them ready to receive in a stronger and deeper way your goodness, your word, your way, that it may change their lives and bring them closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Yes, my brothers and sisters, as most of you know, we have been very blessed and fortunate at Light of the World that our own man of God, Bishop Kevin Jones, through his preaching on the subject of distraction, mm-hmm. has been bringing revelation to us. Through mm-hmm. this series of demonic teachings, we have learned that distractions in our lives are real and they are demonic. Mm-hmm. We have learned that distractions will strip you of your time, they will strip you of your focus, and even mm-hmm. rob you of your mm-hmm. destiny in God. Bishop
Amen.
Jones has reminded us mm-hmm. that it is so dangerous to yield ourselves to these distractions because you begin to lose ground in your productivity toward what mm-hmm. God is trying to produce in you
That's
through
right.
your purpose. Yes,
uh-huh.
yes. We even have the nerve at times to convince ourselves that we are on the right road to our kingdom purpose, not even realizing that we are going in the wrong direction because of distractions. Yes. Bishop Jones says we should continually ask God, what more can we do in striving toward our kingdom purpose so that we never get comfortable in what looks like a blessing, and we cannot hear the voice of God as to what God wants us to do as Christians working to glorify God through his kingdom. We know that through the devil's distraction, he is here on earth to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to wreak havoc in our lives. As a result of these distractions, if the devil is able to diminish the time you spend studying the Word of God, taking your focus off of your faith, or robbing you of your destiny through your ministerial services to God, he would have accomplished just about everything he had set out to do to ruin your life.
Amen.
This is why Paul's biblical text, 1 Colossians, verses 24 through 29 that I just read, is the perfect prescription, the perfect antidote, the perfect destroyer of distraction, because it shows us how to recapture our time and our focus through our ministry service to God. But in order to understand Paul's philosophy of ministry, we must look first in Ephesians 4 and 11, where Paul writes about the offices of spiritual leadership in church that were established by Jesus. Paul also described the purpose of each spiritual leadership office. And those of you in Radio Land, you know I'm talking about the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Paul's explanation of these offices has been now become known as the fivefold ministries. The purpose of the fivefold ministry, according to Ephesians 4 and 12, is for equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I say unto you that you cannot equip the people of God for ministry without first fully understanding what does it mean when you say you are a minister, and what it is in our nature of service through that ministry. Fortunately for us, Paul writes a beautiful passage of scripture that answers these very questions. Paul wrote this letter, as I said earlier, to the Colossians while he was in prison. This passage will help us to define your life in ministry. In 1 Corinthians 4 and 16, Paul offers himself as an example to follow, where he says, be followers of me as I am of Christ. Mm-hmm. Going back to our original biblical text, you can tell that it is a personal expression by Paul, where he uses the first person pronoun, I. In verse 24, he writes, I now rejoice. Verse 25, he writes, I became a minister. Even at the end of verse 23, he identifies himself by writing, I, Paul, became a minister. Verse 29, he writes, to this end, I labor. Paul continues the personal touch with his use of the collective personal pronoun, we. In verse 28, Paul writes, him we preach. Then it goes on to say in the same verse, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Throughout this text, Paul also uses the words me and my to emphasize how important this biblical passage is to him. Now we must answer the question, according to Paul, what does it mean when you say you are a minister? When you translate the word minister back to its original Greek language, you get a word that is pronounced diakonos. That word means table waiter. It's a person who delivers the meal to a table and takes away the dishes. Why is that? It is someone who does menial service, someone who is unskilled and performs common service or labor. Understand this, my brothers and sisters. Paul, through the humility that he had within himself, he saw himself only, merely, as a very common person. In Romans 1 and 1, Paul describes himself as a bond servant. The original Greek language for the word bondservant is doulos, which means you are bound by law to a master as a slave. Paul additionally saw himself as submissive in a way who operates under the orders and not independently. Paul continues to explain, what does it mean when you say you are a minister? In 1 Corinthians 4 and 1, where he writes, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ. Paul goes on to explain how we are to serve as ministers in Acts 20 and 19, where he writes, serving the Lord with all humility. In the biblical research that I did, I discovered that the word minister, going back to its Greek origins, also means under rower. And an under rower refers to the slaves who sat in the belly of large ships and pulled the great oars to move the ship through the seas, through the mighty ocean. It is any wonder that Paul would use this powerful metaphor to explain that a minister is a bond slave to Christ. He exists only to serve the master. He does not and cannot serve anyone else. So according to Paul, to be a minister, you are to be humble and willing to take orders as if you were a bond servant, a slave, an under rower. For who? For Christ. whose only duty it is for us to serve him, because he is our master.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is saying in another way that Jesus had already said in Mark 12 and 30, and that is that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Beloved, you and I know when you love someone unconditionally, there is nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, you would not do for them. This now brings us to the essential part of this passage. We can now begin to ask the question, what is the nature of our service through ministry? In other words, what are the components, the parts, the pieces, the ingredients of ministerial service that run so strong, that run so deep, that it would keep us from being moved in the wrong directions by distractions?
Mm-hmm.
So let us look at, according to Paul, what should be our source of our ministry. Upon reflection, Paul is giving his testimony of what brought him into the ministry to King Agrippa in Acts 26, verses 12 through 16. He recounts to the king about his encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road. Paul was making the point that it had nothing to do with him or his authority, that he went through this life-changing event. In Paul's letter to the Romans, 15th chapter, verses 15 and 16, he writes, as reminding you, because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. In other words, beloved, Paul is saying that he became a minister by grace. He did not earn it. He did not deserve it. Paul felt he, of all people, had no right because he was a killer and prosecutor of Christians. Paul emphasizes this point when he writes in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10 that by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 3 and 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God, given to me by the effective working of his power. Glory to God. Amen. Paul even writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. He writes to Timothy by saying, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Paul saw the source of his ministry, as we should see the source of our ministry, coming from a sovereign Lord, also as a gift of grace and mercy that we and he did not earn or deserve.
Amen.
Now we can answer the question, what is the source of ministry? The answer, that source is the grace and mercy of God. Now we can move on to answer the question, what should be the spirit of our ministry? It is absolutely amazing that Paul, with all of the weight of responsibility on his shoulders and all the disappointments of life that go with it, he could still write in verse 24 of this chapter I'm speaking of, 1 Colossians, "Now I rejoice." In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14, he writes, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." Paul is saying that in spite of it all, there is joy and triumph about being given the privilege of ministry to preach the gospel to those who do not know Jesus. The prophet Jeremiah expresses this joy powerfully in his own chapter, chapter 15, verse 16. Remember also Jeremiah, when he wrote these words, he was in a prison pit. And he wrote the following words, Jeremiah, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name." My brothers and sisters in Christ, Jeremiah is saying that eating the words of the Lord means to internalize them and allow their meaning to become a reality in one's own life. Joy and rejoicing are the gift or the inheritance to the ones who know the Lord, and to be called by Lord, the Lord's name is to be recognized as belonging to him as his servant. So, beloved, we see that the spirit of ministry is joy. Now let's move on. What is meant by the suffering of ministry? Notice again in verse 24, Colossians, first chapter, again, Paul writes, "Now I rejoice." In what? Further on in the verse, what does it say? "In my sufferings for you." Paul is making the point that a Christian will endure suffering that Christ would be enduring if he were still in the world. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1 and 5, "For as the sufferings in Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." Remember, in John 15, 19 and 20, Christ told his disciples that if the world hated him, it would hate his followers. And if people persecuted Jesus, they would persecute his followers. Paul believed he was suffering the afflictions of that God wanted him to endure. Paul writes in detail about all the afflictions and all the sufferings he endured in 2 Corinthians, all of chapters 4, 6, 10, 11, 12, and 13. All of those chapters in 2 Corinthians, Paul details all of the afflictions that he went through. A great revelation came over Paul when he prayed to the Lord three times to remove this thorn in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, Paul writes, "And he said to me," this is the Lord speaking back to Paul when he asked for that thorn to be removed three times. And we know this part of the Bible like the back of our hand. 2 Corinthians 12:9, where it says, "And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in what? In your weakness." Paul came to realize through this event that it was God's grace to him, forcing him to rely on God's strength and not his own. Think of how many times Paul was beaten with rods, whipped and stoned, shipwrecked, put in prison. Paul's body was covered with scars and had crushed bones, and still he considered it a privilege to receive and take all suffering blows for him, Jesus, who took the blows for all of us. Glory to God. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, Paul writes, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Paul wants us to know that when you suffer in the ministry, you suffer vicariously, meaning you suffer in place of someone else, and that someone else is Jesus. So far, my brothers and sisters, we have explored Paul's source, spirit, and suffering of the ministry. Now we should look at the scope of what our ministry should be according to Paul. Paul gave Timothy his marching orders when he wrote in 2 Timothy 4:5, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Remember, my brothers and sisters, Paul went on 3 ministerial journeys. Each time he went to the same places. Why? Because he wanted to go and strengthen the elders, strengthen the leaders, strengthen the churches a little bit more each time when he was there. Paul was concerned about the depth, not the breadth of his ministry. Paul believed that if you took care of the depth of your ministry, God would take care of the expansion or the breadth of your ministry. No doubt Paul modeled his ministry on the limited focus from Jesus's ministry. Paul's primary focus was on the Gentiles. Jesus' focus was explained by him in Matthew 15:24, where Jesus said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Remember, Jesus spoke only of the gospel and things of the kingdom. In Jesus's 3-year ministry, He recruited only 12 disciples and was always obedient to God the Father. Paul writes in Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 18 and 20, that, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has accomplished through me in word or deed to make the Gentiles obedient. And I also say, I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation." In other words, Paul is saying that he only wants to speak about those things God wanted him to speak about in those particular places God wanted him only to go. So, beloved, Paul is saying that the scope of your ministry is to simply fulfill the word of God.
Amen.
Moving back to our original biblical text, Paul writes in verse 26 and in 27 to explain the subject of the ministry. Verses 26 and 27 reads as follows: the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. Verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Paul is saying in these two verses that the mystery that was hidden in the Old Testament is now revealed in the New. Paul goes on to say, we are now to preach what the Old Testament does not say. The glorious mystery is that Christ lives within us. Hallelujah. Not that the Messiah will be with his people, but that he will be in his people. This is the mystery not revealed in the Old Testament. The subject of the ministry is that we preach Christ outside of us, we preach Christ within us, and we preach Christ in us. Glory to God. That is amazing. We preach Christ outside of us, we preach Christ with us, and we preach Christ in us.
Hallelujah.
In verse 28, Paul addresses the staple of your ministry. And that reads as follows in verse 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Paul is saying in this verse that we make an open public proclamation of Jesus Christ. We herald him. We preach and we proclaim and declare and announce him. Warning means admonishment. We teach about the consequences of when we reject Christ. Teaching means instructing about the blessings of our faith. And Paul says in his writing that we do this with all wisdom. And that means we cover all of the revealed will of God. In the end, Paul is saying that preaching and teaching is the raw material. It is the principal commodity. It is a basic necessity, the staple of Christian ministry. Hallelujah. The second part of that verse, the second part of verse 28, Paul addresses the sum of the ministry. That part of the verse reads as follows: that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The Greek word for perfect means end or completion. This is a reference to the second coming of Christ and the completion of all things thereof. So what Paul is saying in that part, that second part of verse 28, is that the sum of the ministry, When all things are added up, the work, our work, is never done until the second coming of Christ, when all things will be complete. So, beloved, starting back in verse 24, we have journeyed through an understanding with the help of Paul's very own words of the source, the spirit, the suffering, the scope, the subject, the staple, and the sum of the ministry. Now here in the final verse, verse 29 of our biblical text, Paul seeks to explain the strength of what should be in and about our ministry. Verse 29 reads as follows. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Paul is using himself as an example when he says, I labor, I strive according to his power. As a result, beloved, we cannot be saved without repentance and faith. But it is through the power that it is done. It is through his power that it is done. We cannot be sanctified without obedience and worship. But it is through his power that it is done. You cannot get to heaven without perseverance. But in other words, it is still through his power that God can secure it for us. Beloved, we cannot minister unless we work, we strive, we labor with everything, and I mean everything in us.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, my brothers and sisters in Christ, Paul is saying that he cannot take credit for the results of his own ministry. It is the power of God working mightily in him that produces all of the incredible results Paul is talking about within his ministry. Notice that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, and in verse 16, he uses the phrase, we do not lose heart. He uses that phrase twice in those verses to emphasize to us as an example of Paul's relentless commitment. That's why he used that phrase, we do not lose heart. Paul had a relentless commitment. He was a soldier for the Lord. And despite it all, he has been through so much, but he still, Paul never gave in, Paul never gave out, and Paul never, ever gave up. In conclusion, my beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, we now end up where we began. We have come full circle that the source of the ministry is the strength of our ministry. The source of the ministry is its strength. I'll say that again. The source of our ministry is its strength. And finally, the true and ultimate surprise of the ministry is that God can do what we could never do or imagine on our own or even in our own strength. We need the Lord and his power We must surrender to it. We must believe in it so that he can work through us, through whatever ministry that we are in, for the glory of God, for the building up of his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, do all that you can do, but just like Paul, never give in, never give out, never give up. I conclude this evening in the name of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Awesome word of God.
Oh my
Amen.
God.
I'm telling you right now.
Jesus.
Oh my God. Just let's worship the Lord right now.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, you are
God, you are awesome.
God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord.
God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Lord,
hallelujah.
You are great.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Yes.
We are to be used by
yes.
God
in the suffering of our ministry. Hallelujah.
Thank you, right
yes.
God.
Thank you, Lord.
In the name of
thank
Jesus.
You,
Lord.
In the name
hallelujah.
Of Jesus.
Glory to God.
Glory
to
God. Glory, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
the honor. Honor just to be counted worthy to be. Participant in the gospel.
Yes.
Oh my God.
My
even
God.
Even though
yes.
even
yes.
though this ministry comes with a price, you want to say,
mm-hmm.
Because he had to be submissive,
humble.
Whatever happens, whatever God allows to happen,
Lord.
He healed himself.
Lord.
He said, Lord,
Lord,
have your way.
Have your way, Lord.
Have your way. Yes, yes.
Have to be submissive to God,
to God.
And surrender to his will and his
yes.
way. When we do that,
yes.
oh my God, God will carry us in places
yes.
where we
yes.
won't
mm-hmm.
even dream we would ever
yes,
be.
Lord.
He would have
you,
us
Lord.
Doing things
yes.
that we wouldn't imagine we're able to do. Paul is saying he
yes.
rejoiced.
Mm-hmm.
My God, what kind of mindset do you have to have
mm-hmm.
rejoice in the affliction?
Yes.
Pain and suffering
yes.
to rejoice in only because you've been used, Master.
Yes, Lord.
Oh my God.
Oh
yes.
my God.
You know, when you first started out, you all recognized who he was
yes.
in the kingdom.
Yes.
Humbling.
Yes.
You have to admit that you are a vessel
Me
of
you.
God used by God.
Yes.
He was a waiter. That's waiting on tables.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
And all you can do is get some tip every now and then. Because waiters, their
yes.
salary is so small. But he even went worse than that. He said, I am a bondsman.
Yes.
Oh, my God. He yes. just humbled himself. So then when you humble yourself and realize it's not about you, then you really can
mm-hmm.
surrender to God and let him use you any way
yes.
he desires. And we see that God will use Paul in a way where he was able to write the earth, the New Testament.
Yeah.
About what
mm-hmm.
God is doing. So in order for us to really perfect our ministry, the first step for us to do is submit us only to God and realize it's not about it's about God who is our Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
Man,
hallelujah.
Awesome.
Thank
we,
you.
When we have
yes.
that understanding that it's not about us, we won't be easily
mm-hmm.
be distracted. We won't easily
mm-hmm.
come and get our attention because we're sold out. When you're
yes.
sold out, you're not looking for plan B, so you ain't looking nowhere else. A lot of times when
mm-hmm.
we are sold out, anything else out of our provision, our vision, we start to look at it. We get
yeah.
And they told me that the dove eyes focus that they don't even see anything else. They're just vision. And so in order to not to be distracted, we have to have eyes Committed to God. Man, what a word. We don't know if anybody out there
has any questions
tonight. Just press one on your phone, and we'll bring you so you can share what God has given you through this word tonight.
Yeah.
Amen. I know everybody.
Glory to God. And
we are all ministers of reconciliation. If you have been born again, you are a minister. So don't even think about you if you're not in the pulpit. He said, no, it doesn't matter where you are. Reconciliation. A comment or question or anything tonight. Prayer request, a praise report. Amen. We see we have somebody in queue, and your area code is 404. The last four digits is 4. Live on the air, caller.
Hey, this is Brother Bass. Brother
Hey,
Bass, I just want to thank, Brother Forbes for the word. It was very inspiring, and God bless you, the man of God.
All right.
God bless
thank you,
Brother Bass. God bless you, sir.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you tuning in. Amen.
Thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for that encouragement. Yes.
Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. Anybody else out there who wants to comment or praise request, praise report, or prayer request, press one on your phone. We'll bring you live. Thank you so much for this word tonight. Amen.
God.
I tell you, God,
hallelujah.
I'm inspired.
Great
amen. Encouraged. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, we have a great responsibility. Verse 28 really got me. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Here's the part that you mean, that we may present every man perfect in Christ.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, man. That is mind-boggling,
yep.
Mike. It's our duty to present every man perfect through the word, through our ministry, through the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That way. So we thank and praise God for this word. Amen, man of God. If you have any last words you want to, you can give us a final prayer.
Yes. I just want to thank you, as I did in the beginning, giving God all the praise, the honor, and the glory for, again, this opportunity through this amazing, amazing ministry to bring the word of God to his people. And just to emphasize that there is such a responsibility on our shoulders when we are accepting of the duties of being a minister. Because we are so busy, it helps us to avoid those distractions. Let me close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we once again thank you for this opportunity to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Help this message to help your people and draw them closer to you so that they can know you, and in knowing you, they will love you. And they will minister to those people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let it work against all distractions. We bond them, we bind them, and we cast them into the deepest seas. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us in our lives, and that we look forward to serving you distraction-free every day of our lives. And we pray
amen.
This in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
And tune in next week. Your
yes,
wife
Lord.
Will be speaking on next
yes,
week, and
yes.
we can look forward
thank
to a powerful word on next week from Minister Michelle Ford.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You so much for tuning
thank
in tonight. God
thank
bless
Lord.
You. And every Saturday at 8 p.m., dial 918-388-4161 to the General Life Broadcast.
Yes.